The roll, please.
Councilmember Eugene Connors?
Here.
Councilmember Joan Hansen is excused. Councilmember Shirley Dowdy is excused. Mayor Ronald Ertley?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Anna Klein?
Here.
Councilmember Douglas Dunn?
Here.
Councilmember Serena Sullivan?
Here.
City staff, Justin Johnson, City Manager, Ashley Coronado, City Clerk, Sharon Bono, Finance Director, Peg White, Library Director, Britt Hansen, City Attorney.
Thank you very much. Item number one, the comprehensive budget discussion. And what I've decided to do is have people from the public present first, so it might give the staff and or council some more ideas. Let's start off with Susan Blackford.
Good evening, everyone, and Merry Christmas. Susan Blackford, Warren, concerned citizens of Bisbee. I am glad tonight that we can have this discussion on all our ideas of the on the budget. If you decide to put the mayor's idea of a half-cent sales tax with a sunset clause of 4 to 5 years up to a vote of the voters next fall, then I would support it. But I have another idea to discuss tonight, and it's one that I've discussed previously. Let's finally put to rest the idea of being a fire district. I am sure that in the rules of being a charter city, you have to maintain a city municipal police and fire department, period. I am surprised that Dave Smith, Doug Dunn, and the previous mayor do not seem to be aware of this fact. If you prove me wrong, I will do a public apology, but I have checked and researched this fact out. So based on that, what do we do next? Let's go back to our paying for more ambulances. We still do not know why Doug Dunn tabled this idea this spring, before we knew that we were getting a new ambulance and fire truck. Even when we get these new items, in my opinion, we will still need two more ambulances. We are still giving away a lot of money, over $200,000 per year or more to outside services. Since maybe instead of repairing the trucks all the time, the city manager could look into what's called a re-chassis system for the ambulances. It means we buy a new truck and refit the ambulance into it. There are car companies that make these kinds of trucks. In my opinion, we should have been doing this over 3 years ago. As a previous mayor and Dave Smith tried to state we don't make any money, well, that's been proven wrong by this year's city manager presenting his budget. Remember? I heard the fire chief tell Doug Dunn on November 5th that our ambulances have been down a lot and our fire department is up in services for this year. To verify this fact, I don't know if you all saw today the Bisbee Daily Review and the article that says, excuse me for hitting the microphone, Bisbee Fire responds to record number of calls. I'll just do the two paragraphs real short. Bisbee. The Bisbee Fire Department has broken its record, responding to more than 2,500 alarms so far this year for the first time in Bisbee Fire Department history. Chief Mark said the increase is in part due to the hospital in Douglas closing and the Bisbee Fire Department responding to more inter-facility transfers and 911 calls. There it is, you guys. We can make money by doing this. This is the bare facts. This is a very timely article, I think, okay? I don't know why the council will not look into this matter. I'm hoping there's no hidden agendas and why they're not looking into these purchases, but I think it's one of probably many good ideas that are going to be presented tonight to help with our budget problem. One more item. The mayor, with the help of Stan Stern, Freeport, and the Foundation for Senior Living, have been working very hard on getting low-income elderly housing into the San Jose area. If we get this bid this spring, it will mean a small boon for us. But with all the new elderly coming to town or living in the area that were qualified for the housing, the federal government would make sure that we have a fire and police municipally run departments to cover this new population and not be a fire district. So let's end that part of the discussion now. Move on to other good ideas. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Susan Blackford. Next, we have Eric Farner.
Hello, everyone. Eric Farner, Warren Bisbee. Good to see you all. This is a meeting that I was so hoping that was going to happen. I had put the petition to the council, but it looked like this one was already scheduled or in the works, so I can't take credit for this one. So I should probably just sit down and be quiet. But before I do that, it's important that we have a freewheeling discussion that no option be off the table. Nothing is taboo. And I'm talking about things like what would happen, what would be the benefits, and what would be the drawbacks of, you know, eliminating the fire department, eliminating the police department, becoming dependent on the county sheriff's office for police services, if our library system becomes a county library system, if the city itself dissolves. The tax increase that the mayor has proposed, it may very well be something that is necessary, but it is certainly not sufficient to solve our financial woes. And if the experience of Tucson at the last general election is any indication, where so many bond issues were all voted down, I don't think that the public is in a mood to vote for tax increases. So we need to put other alternatives on the table. And whatever they are, the people that I work with every day, you know, clients I represent, you know, in the business and, you know, residential properties and all that, they need to know what things might look like in their day-to-day operations and the day-to-day lives in a year and a half if certain things happen, so they can plan and adapt for it instead of waiting for the last minute and then trying to figure out what do we do now. So if the city dissolves, you know, what happens to the community? If the city shrinks down, you know, what happens to the community? And everything should be on the table, and I don't think anybody should be shooting down any ideas or moaning and groaning. So let's put them on the table, weigh the pros, weigh the cons, and go from there. And thank you for having us.
Thank you, Eric Farner. Any other member of the public that's not signed up, you're certainly welcome to come up and speak if you so desire. If not, we'll refer over to Mr. Justin Johnson, who's name is under the agenda item.
Thank you, Mayor, members of the council. And the reason why my name is on the meeting, just trying to, you know, push the ball forward a little bit to give you all the opportunity to present some of the ideas that you all were attempting to discuss, I guess about a month and a half ago. With that said, I'll certainly go ahead and kick it over to Councilmember Dunn. I know he and I had an opportunity to speak earlier with some of the ideas that he wanted to bring forth, so I think that'll be a more appropriate place to start the discussion.
Councilmember Dunn.
Just in terms of a little background, we began the discussion a month ago, and I certainly appreciate the opportunity to kind of brainstorm and explore options. We certainly, City of Bisbee is facing a serious budget constraints, and that's a given. And I'm glad that we're spending some time now rather than waiting until we go into the next budget system schedule to look at options. Certainly the mayor has pointed out repeatedly that this year's budget is balanced on the use of reserves. And certainly for clarity, reserve comes from items that were budgeted in prior budgets but were not spent. And so they're carried over into the next year. And often, such things like you put in your budget for a match for a grant and then the grant doesn't come in. And so then that still remains and is carried over into the next year. Certainly it's been the policy of this city to retain 3 to 6 months of budget operational funds in reserve in case of emergency, in case that somehow that the revenue does not materialize as we have budgeted, or as in case of an unexpected expenditure such as an extreme weather event, flooding, and increased demands that might come up to the city at that time. So it certainly is good accounting policy to have reserves. certainly once we spend those reserves, they're gone. And I think that's a dilemma we're facing with here now. We are certainly, the budget we now are operating under is balanced with some reserves, some use of these reserves. And if that is actually expended, then they are gone forever. In the interim, the city has implemented a number of cost-cutting measures, and I commend the city manager for doing that. Certainly, you compare the number of people on payroll today versus 10 years ago, and it's about a 20% reduction. We've implemented, in addition to that, a furlough system where all city employees are working a reduced number of hours, which, frankly, is what really means is people are doing the same amount of work but for less pay. That's what it seems to me. We've also looked at vacant positions and how, and in many cases, not filled those. In other cases, we filled those with positions that are less costly in terms of better meeting our needs at less cost. We've also closed City Hall on Fridays. Again, these are all cost-cutting measures. This body is quite vigilant, the city manager, in terms of trying to cut corners where we can. Certainly a lot of this has been precipitated with the public awareness of the public safety retirement obligation that we have, and we discussed that in an earlier meeting. And certainly I commend the mayor for working with the League of Arizona Cities and Towns and other bodies in terms of the mayor's groups and looking at what are some options in terms of helping us with this issue, which is statewide. It's not just affecting Bisbee, but it's statewide. And certainly the meeting that we had in Sierra Vista about a month or so ago with our state legislators, they certainly are indicating that they are proposing some reforms they call the yardstick. But most of those reforms will deal with current and future employees and not necessarily reduce our obligation for current retirees. Hopefully we're going to get some relief, but I don't see any silver bullet, frankly, that will significantly reduce our costs and our obligations under the retirement system. Again, I appreciate this session in terms of the opportunity to brainstorm. When I first put my ideas together, we were talking mainly about public safety, so I'm going to start off with some ideas in terms of public safety, and then I'll pause and allow others to contribute, and I'll add some more in terms of other areas of the city. I guess one thing that I think is real important to say up front, and that is there is one option that is not on the table, and that is the option of foreclosure. And the idle talk that has been going around the community that that is an option, and I really appreciate the comments that were made in terms of the call of the public, we need to get away from that. We need to get out of that. We need to remove that from our vocabulary, our discussion. We are committed. I am committed to being here at the city of Bisbee for the next 100 years. And I want to convey to business people, and I want to convey to employees, and I want to convey to citizens that we're going to be here for the long haul. And that they can make plans accordingly, that anyone who works for this community can be assured that we're going to be here for to cover their retirement benefits. And that Bisbee is going to continue to be a rewarding, secure place to work, a place to develop your career, and a place where you're going to be appreciated for your service. And we need to really convey that, and it starts by removing from the table any further discussion of foreclosure. Okay.
Thank you. Any other council members have some comments? Do you want to continue?
I'm carrying on here.
Okay.
My pre-comments here, but I'm ready.
I appreciate what Councilmember Dunn said about foreclosure or bankruptcy. It's bandied about in the community that the city is bankrupt, it's going broke, dire circumstances, and that's not reality. We take in about $7.4 million. It's a little more now because of the 1 cent sales tax we have for the streets. And we will continue to take that amount in. So we and the general fund has no debt. So that money will continue to roll in. However, we ran into a problem, and when you have a budget problem, you need to identify what is creating that budget problem. And that was the public safety personal retirement system. And so we had a $400,000 increase, approximately, this year, and therein lies our dilemma. So therefore, if we're going to solve that problem, we need to pinpoint what it is. And so PSPRS, it needs to be solved. And so I appreciate Councilmember Dunn was in Sierra Vista. We had State Senator Griffin and State Senator Stevens. But subsequent to that, or after that, there was a meeting in Sierra Vista with Governor Ducey and Speaker of the House Gowan. And so it was over a dispatch center that may be built, and Ducey was going to give the county a lot of money. So I thought it was a perfect opportunity to confront, might not be the right word, but that's what I did, essentially. I confronted the governor, and he was sitting just a few seats away, and Gowan was next to him, and I talked about PSPRS. And I said, it's a major dilemma hurting the rural communities, actually many communities in the state of Arizona. And so I asked, is there going to be relief in the legislature? And the governor said, yes, but Speaker Gowan was almost animated, and he was excited almost. And he said, yes, absolutely, and he talked about it. So I believe he's telling the truth, and they will address that in the next legislative session beginning in January. So I was very encouraged, and I felt really good about that. So if they do the equalization, which is an if, I don't know whether that would pass or whether they'll bring it forward. I think they will. I think there's a lot of pressure on them from rural communities throughout this state to do that. I think there's a good chance that would pass. And what that would do is take our 94% rate of what the city pays into the public safety personal retirement system for each employee, 94% of their salary, which is a lot, one of the highest in the state, that would take us probably about half. And that would be a savings of approximately $600,000 to $700,000. And so we need to keep the very subtle pressure on. When I say subtle, it has to be done very delicately. And let them think it's their idea. It's very important. But there is pressure on them to act. A lot of pressure on them to act right now. So as a backup to that, I proposed or talked about a 1/2-cent sales tax. I believe it was last September. And so it could not be put on the ballot till November of 2016, according to our charter. It can only go on general election ballots. So it is a backup plan in case we do not get relief from the legislature. It is a backup plan. I feel the council needs to offer that to the community and not wait 2.5 years when the reserve funds will be completely depleted. It is an opportunity for the community to say, yes, we want these services. Or no, we don't want these services. But not to do anything and not to give the community the opportunity to say, we want these services and we're willing to pay for them, would be a dereliction of my duty in the office that I'm in right now. So that's the backup plan if the legislature doesn't act. We have to do something. I have a deadline of about the middle of February. If the legislature does not act by the middle of February, then I need to have a contingency plan, and that is that 1/2-cent sales tax. And so the council will have to make that decision whether they would like to place that on the ballot. That is the backup plan. So if it, once again, I'll say this as strongly as I can. If the community wants these services, they'll have to pay for them. If they don't, well, the city will just cut some of those non-essential services out. I think that would be a tragedy, but hopefully we don't get that far, and the legislature acts on the public safety personal retirement system. That's what I really hope. I think about it every day, actually. So I'm going to conclude my remarks at that point, but I'm sure I'll have more input. Any other council member have a comment?
I'll continue on.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I certainly support what you just said. I mean, again, I indicated earlier I commend your efforts with the legislature and moving this forward. Certainly, I've indicated earlier that I certainly my first option here looking at alternatives for public safety, funding the public safety. My first item is a city sales tax, and certainly you're proposing a 0.5% sales tax increase that would generate $375,000 to $400,000 a year to cover basically what we budgeted out of reserves. It is also the increase in our obligation under the Public Safety Retirement Program. It does, however, reality is it unable to cover the total annual obligation under the Public Safety Retirement Program, which is $1,300,000. That would require an increase, a sales tax increase of 1.8% from 9.6 to 11, the current 9.6% to 11.4%, and it would be needed for 23 years to pay off our current obligation. The point is, I think as the mayor has basically indicated as well, sales tax alone cannot remedy our situation. There was a recent article in the Bisbee Review, Sierra Vista Herald, that ranks Arizona as 41 out of 50 in terms of tax fairness. We are the state that makes has the most regressive, one of the most regressive taxes in tax systems in America, largely because of our reliance on sales tax. And certainly the city of Bisbee is very much into that category in terms of relying very heavily on sales tax. My second suggestion also echoes those that were stated earlier by Mrs. Blanchard and others, that the interfacility transfers certainly have increased. The article was in today's paper. Was very informative. Certainly our fire chief has informed us of that earlier. This last year, the Bisbee Fire Department provided 411 interfacility transfers. Arizona Ambulance provided 295. With the closing of the Douglas Airport or Douglas Hospital, the number of interfacility transfers has increased dramatically this year. Back in 2013, the City Council analyzed the profit return possible from increasing the number of interfacility transfers. And at that time, there was quite a bit of difference of opinion in terms of those figures. My personal assessment of those numbers at that time convinced me that there was that we were receiving a net income or a profit from the interfacility transfers of about $500 per transfer. That's after subtracting the fuel costs, the equipment depreciation, the personnel, overtime, retirement, and all other costs from the $1,500 that we receive or that we collect per transfer. Using that number, if we were to increase the number of transfers by 100 next year, that would be $50,000 additional dollars. Net, not revenue, but net profit. Certainly, we also have the option of contracting with private ambulance providers and sharing the revenue, which is we've initiated with the, well, not private, but with the Palominas, in which they are providing some of our backup, and we're actually getting a cut, a portion of that, what was collected. I certainly challenge staff to identify ways by which we can cut costs and increase profit on interfacility transfers. And certainly, up to this point, our limitation has not been equipment. An ambulance has been, we haven't had personnel, specifically paraprofessionals, to man those vehicles. We certainly have made great accomplishments recently in terms of getting additional paraprofessionals on board. We certainly, at this point, are tapping. I think our fire chief is making a number of these runs himself, in addition to being fire chief. And if we can increase the number of personnel, it would reduce our overhead costs and increase our return even further on interfacility transfers. Three, I do think we do need to have a discussion of a fire district. We need to look at and really get, rather than talking the emotions of this, really get some facts, get some help. The fire chief has indicated there's a number of individuals who have come forward and offered their services in helping the city council assess the opportunity that a fire district would provide us, the benefits. In my mind, the fire district, the main thing about a fire district, it would be funded by a secondary property tax assessment on all property within the district. The district would be defined by how the application would be made, and it could include, what could be restricted to a current city limits, but also could be expanded to cover outlying areas such as properties now owned by Freeport. Could also, with the agreement of all parties involved, could incorporate the current San Jose Fire District. Again, the district would be defined by us if we were an applicant, if we decide to go that route. The use of a property tax to fund the fire district makes sense to me in that the primary benefit is the protection of property. You know, the prime benefit is the protection of property. Well, then the logical way of funding that is through a property tax rather than through a sales tax. And the continuing over-dependence in terms of a very regressive tax that we now have. And again, I want to reinforce, restate that the fire district is a funding mechanism. It does not prescribe the level of service. The level of service in the fire district is determined by the district's publicly elected governing body. The impact of the fire district on homeowner insurance rates would be determined by the level of service provided, and we've had already some discussions about that. It's interesting that a series of articles that appeared in the January 28th and the January 30th, 2015 issue of the Sierra Vista Herald provided a comprehensive analysis of fire districts, departments in Southern Cochise County, along with a comparison of home owner insurance rates. It's interesting to me, and that article indicated that the Frye Fire District and the Whetstone Fire District both have an ISO fire insurance rating of 4, as does the city of Sierra Vista. Bisbee currently has an ISO of 6. The lower the rating, the number, the lower your insurance rate. So currently, those two fire districts have a better insurance rating than what the Bisbee currently has. Interestingly, the Whetstone Fire District, according to this article, is staffed with 9 full-time personnel and 20 volunteers. What would be the cost of a fire district? It's interesting, again, my source of reference continues to be the Sierra Vista Herald Bisbee Review. There's been another article in terms of the changes that are occurring in terms of development of the fire district and sun sites, which provides some indication in terms of what might happen here or could happen here. For example, the Frye Fire District is currently funded through a property tax assessment of $2.97 per $100 of assessed valuation. That would mean then basically if you had a $100,000 home or property, your annual assessment would be $297 a year. A fire district levies are currently capped by state law at $3.25 per $100 of assessed valuation. So that would be a maximum $325 for a home of $100,000 home per year. A fire district is established through a very challenging petition process to the Cochise County Board of Supervisors. It is necessary that you have a majority of the signatures of a majority of all property owners in the prescribed district. And it also, in addition to that, requires that you have a majority of all assessed valuation within that district. So that certainly is a challenging proposition. And certainly one that we do not want to go into unless we're united in seeking that approach. As I again indicated earlier, Fire Chief indicated, Bernalite indicated that he has several individuals, including the person who is now advising the Sun Sites District in terms of advising us and working with us and looking more closely, investigating more closely what our options might be and understand the ins and outs of a district. I would particularly be curious as to whether it would be legally possible for a newly created fire district to contract with the existing Bisbee Fire Department for services. There's a question. Or would it be possible to separate on paper only, the fire department from the ambulance service, one funded by a property tax and the other funded through the general fund as we now are doing. Again, I say on paper. Certainly the current retirement obligation will remain with the city of Bisbee with whatever happens. I don't think any district is going to agree to take on our obligation, nor would any would anybody allow that. Those are some questions that I would certainly pose and investigating further in terms of a property tax funded fire district. And I would hope that we would continue this investigation and this study. Point four is interesting in investigating fire districts. I was reminded that there currently exists what's called a county fire district assessment tax, and that is every one of us, including those of us who live in Bisbee, if you look on your property tax assessment, we're all paying for this countywide, and the revenue then is divvied up with fire districts in the county. If we were to become a fire district, then we would then be eligible for a small amount. I think it would be a small amount of funds from that countywide fire district. 5.5 in terms of funding opportunities for public safety. Community fundraising. Certainly I've, in the rural communities in which I've lived much of my life, fire departments were funded significantly through community fundraising activities. Certainly the recent example of the Bisbee Vogue Fireman Iceman Challenge is an example of things that can be done there. Other examples in Bisbee, certainly the Friends in the Copper Queen Library are very active, just finished their annual altered book fundraiser in terms of raising funds to support the library. The Friends of the Bisbee Animal Shelter recently completed their Mariachi Festival, a major fundraiser, a very active group in terms of supporting the animal shelter. The Evergreen Cemetery Fund, endowment fund under the Bisbee Foundation, currently has raised over $55,000. Through local donations. Bisbee Arts Commission also has a fundraising activity. Each year, the American Legion holds a public safety personnel appreciation day. That event has been largely limited to public safety personnel, the mayor, and the city council. Why not expand that into a huge, I'm gonna say a huge, public safety personnel appreciation day and fundraiser? That we get citizens and on-site, hands-on, visit the fire station, see the equipment, experience as well as a fundraiser. Also, if we're looking at wild and crazy ideas, Bisbee has an annual Girls on the Gulf calendar. Why not put together a guys and gals at the City Hall or City of Bisbee fundraising calendar? We have some very good-looking people who work for this organization, starting with the city manager.
Were you pointing at me?
Attorney. You know, clear down to the Ward 1 city council representatives that we have here. We have photo potential here in terms of a calendar. And it certainly would also convey, you know, the city's commitment to transparency.
Is it going to be a swimsuit edition?
Well, seriously, again, we would, you know, I'm not proposing anything risque. It would be a family calendar. But I think, again, we're brainstorming in terms of what might be done in terms of bringing additional attention to the city. Certainly the cell would have to be unique, and we have a lot of people with unique ideas here in terms of how to make this unique. Other fire departments have done this. Other cities have done this. Other community groups have done this. Fundraising. Six, an idea that just pop into my mind that I'd like to share with the mayor to, if we could pass on to our state representatives. Certainly when we met in Sierra Vista, this legislature was reinforced that they certainly are not going to increase taxes. I think that was certainly something that was it's going to be very hard to get this legislature to increase taxes to fund whether it's a public safety retirement program or education or anything else. We do have an legislature, however, who does like tax breaks. And I would like to approach our legislature about establishing And again, we have not only tax deductions, but also income tax credits, which are, if you make a donation, for example, of the Bisbee Public Schools or the Boys and Girls Club, you get a dollar for dollar off of your final tax bill. So if you figure your taxes and you owe a certain amount of money, if you give $200 to the Boys and Girls Club, that $200 comes directly off of your final tax obligation. I would like to propose, and there's about 60 other tax credits currently available in this state, and I would like to us to approach our legislators and looking at then why not provide a tax credit for people who make contributions, who provide financial support to public safety. Item 7. I'm going on for a while here this evening. I hope you're prepared for this. During an earlier city council meeting, and I'm disappointed that he's not here tonight, but Robert Newty recommended that a method be established whereby those of us who support the fire department can show our support through a financial contribution. Certainly the very first fire departments in this nation were largely supported through subscriptions. It's still done in a lesser degree, but it's not a major fundraiser. I would like to look at a subscription as possible as a volunteer subscription program, possibly as in lieu of property tax. This could become an annual mailing to property owners with suggested minimum levels of support depending on the size of the property. Subscribers would receive a decal indicating they were a supporter of the fire department. Could also, that subscription could include certain free services, such as home business inspections, public assists, 911 telephone service. Other cities are doing this. Part of that might be, and another point, 8, offer an ambulance insurance policy. Copper Queen Hospital now offers an insurance policy to cover air vac helicopter transfer. Bisbee could offer something similar that would cover any copay or other out-of-pocket costs of a 911 ambulance call, not covered by Medicare or your insurance carrier. Copper Queen Hospital is doing something similar now. Such an insurance policy could also be offered as part of my earlier recommended subscription program. 9, pursue grants. Certainly we were successful this past year. There are FEMA grants, there are Homeland Security grants, but we have to continue to apply for those grants if we're going to receive them. Also, Howard Buffett has been shelling out money for this type of thing, and I don't know whether there's any way of getting to him. We also, I think, can look into acquiring used equipment through the federal excess property program. 10, sell city property. It's interesting, at the Sierra Vista meeting, I asked the mayor of Douglas, I said, how are you getting through this shortfall? And he says, well, we're selling property. Well, I think they probably have more marketable property than what we do, but that's still an interesting response. Several years ago, a list of city-owned properties was developed. Most of those properties have very little public value in terms of as public use. In the past 2 months, the city has sold 3 small parcels for a total of $15,000. Every little bit counts. The former fire station on Bisbee Road is not being used. We have some other buildings that where upkeep is almost exceeding the value of the property. If we continue to have property that's not maintained, there's a cost of maintaining them. Are there other possible uses? The fire station 81 and 82 could be consolidated. Again, we're throwing everything on the table. With the Tombstone Canyon station sold to a rich person looking for a unique residential property. It was interesting, a year ago, I took time with a stopwatch to travel around Bisbee, starting from the 2 fire stations. And it's interesting, with the the highway system we have through town, and then the kind of odd street network in terms of Old Bisbee. The interesting thing that I found, that response time to the business section of Old Bisbee is equal from 81, Station 81, as it is from 82. And the same is true for Brewery Gulch. And the response time to the courthouse in St. Pat's was only like a 1 or 2 minutes difference in all the buildings above that. And likewise, it's interesting, due again to the highway, access to West Boulevard is only a minute or two difference in terms of serving that from Station 81 from 82. I put that on the table. 11, explore options for managing and controlling costs. I think we need to continually to assess different staffing arrangements and use of personnel to reduce overtime. We certainly have a significant overtime component to our personnel budget. Utilize reserve firefighters and volunteers. And I indicated that the example of Whetstone, in which they have a fire rating that exceeds ours, and lower insurance rates, and are manning that with a combination of volunteers and paid staff. 3, contract with Cochise County Regional Communication Center for dispatch service. Investigate joint service arrangements with Palominas Fire District and other entities, which we've already started. Charge for services such as required fire inspections. Require paramedics and other public safety personnel to pay their own certification training, to pay for their own certification training to be reimbursed after 2 years of service. Just a partial list in terms of options, in terms of looking at ways of managing and controlling costs. In my last item, I put in just for discussion purposes, it often is brought up, cut personnel. It concerns me that in terms of the Bisbee Police Department, we're currently operating on 2-person shifts. And we're already investigating whether we should go to a single person shift. And that concerns me in terms of what happens if we have multiple calls come in when only a single officer is on, or what happens if you have a call that requires more than one officer, such as a domestic disturbance call or a confrontational behavior at a traffic stop. Likewise, that the fire department were reduced below the current 4 firefighter that are on shift. That would put us below the minimum number required by law to be present before anyone can enter a burning building. So there would be a delay in terms of response until someone on call could be present and allow then the rescue operation to continue. Some people have said that we have more public safety personnel than we need or can afford, yet the same people complain about limited or delayed response in terms of their request for public safety assistance. I'm going to stop there, and I'll come back and looking at other departments, but I've been thinking about in terms of options in terms of public safety, and I certainly hope that, again, I'll share my list with press and with Ashley here after this meeting, that these are issues that, as Mr. Farner indicated, that everything's on the table, that we will look at and have staff investigate more fully in terms of the pros and cons. We do need to make some choices as we anticipate moving into next year's budget.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments from the council? A few more comments that I'll make. I'm opposed to a fire district, but I want to bring up some information that has been relayed to me today, as a matter of fact. We're running 4 and 5 approximately inter-facility transports a day. Is that correct, Mr. Yes. Johnson? Yeah. And part of that reason is because Douglas cannot run those inter-facility transports, so we're picking up that slack. Also, it came to my attention that our revenues from the ambulance service are up about 10% this year. That's a good thing. So We have a FEMA fire truck to be purchased sometime this next year, in this budget year, would you think? Okay, great. And also a fire truck, too. So it seems to me that, as what Ms. Blackford said, the ambulance division of the fire department is a revenue generator. So the more ambulances that we have, the more revenue we are going to generate. And I support that 100%. And I think that's the area we need to go in. One other little update that I got this afternoon, correct me if I'm mistaken, Ms. Buono. The PSPRS increase, I was afraid it'd be like $150,000 more than what the increase was last year, like another $150,000 on top of the approximate $400,000 last year. But I found out today it's only about $40,000 increase for this next budget year. Yeah, that's a good thing. I know $40,000 more is not a good thing, but it is a good thing instead of $200,000 more. So I do believe there will be relief, as I said earlier, in the legislature on the PSPRS. Another area that we need to look into, and I noticed in the, I get the hard copy, monthly update on the city budget. And I noticed in community development in this budget year, there's already, because of some time of a vacancy, about $27,000 saving. Is that correct, Mr. Johnson? Yeah. And so I think there's some other areas that are similar. And maybe you'd want to address that, like the furloughs, where those numbers are at. So if you recall, during the budget time, we asked for employees under 45,000 to take 5 unpaid days off, and those over 45,000 would take 10 unpaid days off. So we're starting to see some of that add up in savings. So that's also good. Not good for the employees, perhaps, but we're in those types of situations where sacrifice is being asked of all of us, I guess. So those are some of my comments that I have. I think staff, the updates that I was getting this afternoon, as a matter of fact, are very impressive. And there's some other creative solutions that may unfold themselves in the very near future. So I'm intrigued by those possibilities. I'm not going to go into those right now. I don't think they're completely and totally formulated, but I'm very impressed with what I heard today from staff. And that kind of closes off my comments. But once again, I'm very hopeful that the legislature acts on the PSPRS, hopefully the equalization, and if that happens, we're home free. We are in really good shape. So you identify the problem and solve that particular problem, and it solves everything else. And so I'm hopeful, and I'll need to work and put a little more pressure on the legislature, our representatives, Stevens and Gowan in particular, and to make sure that they do that. And Mayor Mueller and Sierra Vista is on board with me, as well as Mayor Ortega and Douglas. And so many mayors around the state are asking and wanting this. At the resolution committee, that's 93 mayors that get together. This year is at Star Pass Hotel in Tucson. 93 mayors get together and vote on about 30 to 35 different types of issues. And PSPRS was on that agenda, but I spoke of another alternative, although it wasn't a recommendation because it wasn't on the agenda, but I could speak on it because it was under that particular topic. So I made an observation that since the PSPRS board was under state obligations and scrutiny, and there was lack of oversight, and they lost significant amounts of the money for the horrible investments, that one recommendation was that every municipal and county government should have a quarterly report to know where those investments are at. We need to know that. It's important, instead of just that fund, the board fund. So as for that, but I also said since the state failed to have oversight, in my opinion, the auditor's office, the governor's office, the legislature, and the attorney general's office failed to have proper oversight, in my opinion, that I said since their responsibility was lacking, perhaps a state sales tax of one half cent on a state sales tax to fund the PSPRS, or at least partially fund it. If it was completely funded by a state sales tax, then we would be free of $1.4 million. And so I had people in the audience who, you know, observing for me, and they said the mayors of this state like that idea a whole lot. And that would be a tremendous economic stimulus for the state of Arizona, of all these communities having this massive amounts of extra income to service their cities. I think that closes my comments. Councilmember Sullivan.
Thank you, Mayor. I have a few comments and a couple of questions to follow up with what everyone has said. And I guess first, since you just spoke, I want to thank you for all the work you've been doing in putting that subtle pressure on the legislature for the public safety pension program, because that's really important, and it's good that you're holding down that front and paying attention and really leading the charge on that. I commend you for that, Mayor. And I also want to thank the city manager and all of the staff, because I know they've been under a lot of pressure, a lot of extra workload with the furloughs, and just trying to make it work with the little money that we have. So thank you so much. It can't be said enough that we know you guys are working really hard, and you could barely notice the change other than City Hall being closed on Friday. I know that's been a bit of a problem for people in the public. So sorry to the public for that, but it's necessary, and hopefully we can all get used to the new schedule. And then I had a question for City Attorney about the comment that Mrs. Blackford made about charter cities not being allowed to do a fire district because they have to maintain their own city fire and police. Do you know if that's true?
I don't keep the city charter in my head as an encyclopedia, so I think I know the answer to it, but I don't want to throw out an I think I know the answer to it at a public forum, because then it'll get taken as fact. So let me look into that and get back to the council, mayor and council.
Okay, because I think that's going to be pretty important going forward. I definitely think that looking into a fire district is a very viable option, primarily because I agree with Mr. Dunn that a property tax would be a better way of funding such services. And also, I thought Mr. Dunn did an excellent job of going through all the possible funding alternatives. I had a lot of the same ideas after going through the U.S. Fire Administration's Federal Emergency Management Program's funding alternatives for fire and EMS. And so a lot of what he covered was in there. And I especially thought that the idea of subscription was a really good idea, and you touched on that. You were talking about a volunteer subscription. There's also the possibility of doing, it would be volunteer, but more rather than just supporting the fire department, could be something where people who know that they might, maybe elderly people or whoever might use the service more, they pay an annual fee of $50 or whatever, and then they're basically covered for any matching cost that would incur. We would still collect from their homeowners or medical insurance, but they wouldn't have to pay anything else. And so if you're collecting a subscription fee from several hundred people, that could create a good revenue stream there. I also thought that along the lines of property taxes, doing a benefit assessment charge was a possibility. It would improve the equity of the charges for fire protection, depending on where your house is located, how close you are to a fire station or whatever you pay, depending on where you are, and that would go through the county. So again, we're looking at a district. And so my other question would be for the mayor and anyone else who challenges the idea of a district. I just haven't seen any reason why it's a bad idea, other than it would break our stride of having the oldest operating fire department in Arizona.
My comment on that is the Bisbee Fire Department, Ms. Klein, correct me if I'm mistaken, was formed in 1908, and it was primarily formed, I guess there were two fires within a year or so of each other, and essentially burned down Old Bisbee. My memory is very fresh of March of 2008, the Moon Canyon fire. And the Bisbee Fire Department responded very quickly to a grass fire that was getting out of control. And if that house would have gone down very near that grass fire, is a good chance you'd have lost, I don't know how many houses, 100 houses, 200 houses, who knows. It was very dangerous and very scary. But they were on the scene, and they stopped it. It did go up the hills, and it was, very frightening. Mm-hmm. But nevertheless, the example is there, that the proof is there that they responded quickly and prevented a major disaster. It was waiting to happen that day. We can go back a year ago, and Ms. Klein probably knows more about this than I do. There was a house fire, and they responded extremely quickly. And it was put out. The house was lost, but no other houses went down. Did you recall that? Yeah, you can add to that if you would like. But I see the proof of a Bisbee Fire Department doing their job, quick on the scene, responsible, know exactly what they're doing under the auspices of the city manager and mayor and council. And I'm very proud and very pleased with them, and I feel secure. I also feel that Old Bisbee, once again, is very dangerous. Has to be watched. It's one of the, in my opinion, one of the more dangerous fire hazard communities in the entire state. And I worry about it, especially with the grass on the hillsides, et cetera, and especially next spring, or beginning maybe even right now. So why change something that seems to have worked since 1908? So I'm opposed to a fire district. Not that a fire district wouldn't be responsible, but we already have something that is responsible. When you come talking about saving money and you're jeopardizing lives and property, I think that's going down the wrong street. I think lives and property, they cost a little bit to save and preserve them. So trying to save money by, in my opinion, putting people's lives and property in danger is definitely the wrong way to go.
Okay.
Does that answer it? I don't mean to be quite so strident. My apologies.
No, thank you for your opinion. I just disagree because the service of the fire district or the fire department wouldn't change. It's the funding of the fire district. We could have the exact same employees. We could have the exact same leadership, the same chief and everything. It would just be funded not through the city of Bisbee, who's financially struggling to keep up with it, and it's taking our city budget down. We can't afford to pay these public safety costs. It's just obvious in our budget. And, you know, hopefully things will go well with the legislature, but either way, it doesn't mean that if we went to a district that it would jeopardize the service in any way. I don't see how it would.
Councilmember Klein.
Okay. I've been trying to jot notes, and so I may be all over the place here. Just to address a couple of things. First, the police department, because it wasn't, you know, really talked up about that much. But one officer per shift, I mean, we're already struggling with two per shift. And putting one officer per shift in our area is ludicrous to even think about that. And I'm sorry, if you call 911, somebody's breaking in your house, you don't want to wait for somebody else to be able to get out and respond and things like that. That's just, I can't even believe it. But I know we're putting everything on the table. That just irritates me to no end. In talking, and I'm glad, Mr. Dunn, that you brought up the bankruptcy that we've all been hearing on the streets. I don't think it's anybody here in the city that's been bringing that up. That just happens to be the rumor mill out in Bisbee and nonsense on Facebook, of which I am not on, but people come up to me constantly and ask me, is this true? Where did you see it? On Facebook. Well, go figure. Again, Mayor, like everybody else, I appreciate the work that you are putting in and you know, trying to work with our representatives up in Phoenix, because we all know that that's where change is going to happen. As far as, and then it was also addressed that in 2013 the council declined to increase transfers. Not really quite sure why the council declined that. Any chance to make more money just didn't seem, other than we heard at the time that Arizona Ambulance wanted a bigger piece of the pie. And as far as Palominas providing backup for the city, Mr. Johnson, in his city manager's report 2 meetings ago, brought up the fact that, and I don't have the exact figures in front of me, but it was well over $100,000 since they've been in there and we have split that. But if we have our own part-time personnel running strictly a transport service, rather than splitting that money, we could be reaping the benefits of it in total. And this $300,000 was for, what, the last 3 months, Mr. Johnson?
From the beginning of February, July 1st.
Okay, so roughly. So if we kind of break that down by quarter, we can see a significant increase if we use that model of essentially what a lot of districts do, what Arizona Ambulance does. They use a lot of part-time personnel. As long as they are EMT or paramedic certified, they do not have to be firefighter certified. And they can run those services for us. And the thing with Palominas is because of our CON and everything, and we had to clarify that last meeting or meeting before about having BSBE personnel in there at all times. We do anyway, but I guess they needed it on paper. So they're not really, we're still taking our personnel out. They're still making these runs, and we're splitting the money. It just doesn't make sense. We should be running this service ourselves. And with a new ambulance on the way, that's going to help. We just finished our last payment on the last lease purchase. We can certainly go out and continue that with another one. There's our two ambulances that we need in addition to what we currently have. We just need the part-time personnel. The fire district. This is not the first time a fire district has come up over the years. It's been talked about many years ago. That's something that personnel has looked into. They continue to look into. And yes, we are the oldest for a city that prides themselves on the history of this town to want to destroy the oldest paid professional department in the state also doesn't make sense. But if a fire district is the only way to preserve the department, then that's something that, you know, we really need to look at. However, it won't be the same exact leadership, and it may not be the same chief. What happens at that point when it becomes if it becomes a district, and that will require a majority of property owners to vote on that, they will have their own board, and that board then decides who the personnel will be, who the chief will be, and there's no guarantee that one of our employees will go into that district. We also, as a city, lose control over what services are provided and how they're provided. And we also lose that revenue. You completely cut the revenue stream out for the city. And as far as comparing us to Whetstone, Whetstone is about the size of Bakerville, maybe? Bakerville and Saginaw? There's a big difference when you're talking terrain, area, how far, you know, spread out we are. And they're just fire. They are not ambulance. And, you know, everybody keeps reminding us that we are an aging population here. I'm sorry, we need those medical services. I want the ambulance to be able to come and pick me up, or my mom, or any other family member or friend, or anybody in this city. I mean, I think that's, and let's face it, the hospital here doesn't really treat anybody. It's basically triage or a Band-Aid station or whatever the people out in the public call it. They come into the ER, they're either stabilized or even to get a cast if you break your arm. That can't be taken care of here. You're being transported to Tucson to have a cast. So we absolutely need the emergency medical service here. And as far as the police and fire appreciation banquet that Mr. Dunn brought up, yes, and that was because our public safety departments have received so much crap from the public. The commander at the Legion, at the American Legion, thought that they should get some recognition. And he was willing, and his family was willing, to put this on their own. It didn't come from the, you know, from any organization. It was a privately funded appreciation dinner. And the police and fire personnel and their families appreciated that Jerry Monsonatis did this out of the goodness of his heart, and it was something that he carried on. Jerry passed away, and the Legion is, well, it's in with BFW now. So we don't know if that appreciation is going to continue. But it was a private citizen that took that on in order to say thank you to our public safety personnel. Let's see. And as far as consolidating Station 1 and 2, that's been talked about as well. But I'm telling you, if I lived up in Old Bisbee, I would be extremely concerned about that. And Mr. Dunn talked about, you know, there might be some delay in response and things like that. We know an emergency, in a medical emergency, seconds count. But definitely when there is a fire, they really count. And I'm sure you can ask any of the neighbors up there in Old Bisbee that were right around the Thanksgiving Day fire location. A delay of personnel getting up there could have been disastrous for everybody up there. So anything that delays, and people say, oh, it just might delay a minute or two. A minute or two could be too late. The mayor brought up the fact that revenues are up. That's a good thing. Again, if we had another ambulance and some part-time personnel, our revenues might be up 20-30% or more. We don't know that. But, you know, we continue to talk about the fire department. They're one of the, well, they are the only department that actually puts money into the general fund, and quite a bit of it. And if they're gone, that stream is gone. And if we're looking at, if we have to cut services, we need to start looking at services that are not essential. We enjoy them, but they're not essential. And that could be, as much as I hate to say it, Peg, because I love the library. That would be, nobody's life depends on it. And there is a county library. I would not want to go that route. But nobody's life depends on it. The city pool. You know, I took my swimming lessons there. My kids took their lessons there. The kids in the summertime love it. But nobody's life depends on it either. Sanitation. There's a lot of private companies out there as far as sanitation goes. And we've looked at that in the past as well. And one of the big things there is nobody wants to go up to Old Bisbee. If you live out in San Jose or in Warren, not a problem. You can find a company to come and pick up your trash. In Old Bisbee, that might be a problem. But again, that's something that nobody's life really depends on that. So maybe we need to look at non-essential and save the essential services. Thank you.
Yeah, I would hate to see those non-essential services go away as well. The library budget is about, correct me if I'm mistaken, Ms. Bloner or Mr. Johnson, it's about $200,000 a year. And so that's why I felt it was essential that if we don't get action on PSPRS, and I'm knowing being somewhat redundant, but I really want the public to understand, it's not Ron's tax. it's my opportunity to allow the community to make a choice of whether they want those non-essential services or not, i.e. library, pool, senior citizen center, park maintenance, et cetera. So I hope we don't have to go down that road, but I would, there's no doubt in my mind I need to offer that to the community if we don't get relief on PSPRS. I don't really have any other comments except back to the fire district. Right now we have a 3 to 5 minute response time, essentially, from the fire and ambulance departments, same way with the police department. I'm not sure about one officer or two officers on duty at night or daytime, whether that is good for the police department anymore, but that's also important to remember. Councilmember Sullivan.
Thank you, Mayor. I just wanted to respond to Anna because I really appreciate a lot of what you said, for sure. I also don't think that two persons per shift on a police shift is at all. It doesn't make sense, really. And I think Mr. Dunn felt the same way. I think most of us would agree that that doesn't really make a lot of sense. At the same time, I've been seeing a lot more sheriff vehicles in downtown Old Bisbee. I don't know if they're all over town, but they've been patrolling the streets in the neighborhoods and stuff, and not on the highways. And I wondered why that is. I guess, is that part of their jurisdiction? They can patrol our streets? It just made me feel like, why aren't they out doing something a little more important than patrolling our city streets? I wanted to comment on that. I don't know if anybody has an answer for that or not, but they actually stopped me, and I had my dog off a leash, which I know is against the city law, but I did, and I often do. He's trained off a leash, and he stopped me and said, you need to get that dog on a leash, and I said, thank you, officer, I will, so I did. But then he just sat there and watched me as though I was committing some horrific crime, and I thought, gosh, isn't there something better for this sheriff to be doing right now? Anyhow, the Bisbee police never seemed to bother me about that. So it was just strange. You know, I'm wondering who is controlling our streets. Is it the city of Bisbee or is it the sheriff's department? Talking about loss of control. Anyway, back to Anna's comments. You spoke about us losing the revenue stream if we went to a fire district. And so that's true. We would lose it, and we're looking at bringing in our budget, it says $900,000 for 2016 coming in from these interfacility transfers. But the total that goes out for our fire department is over $2 million. So it's not like we're netting anything from those interfacility transfers. I do feel the emotional connection with having the oldest fire department in the state, and it does work well, and these guys are awesome. But we're talking about the sustainability and the long-term availability of fire services and whether or not we can maintain that as a city. And so I also appreciated your comment, Anna, about, you know, if it comes down to it, then we need to look at all possibilities. So I thought that was cool. Also, the Public Safety Appreciation Day, I would love to make sure that that gets maintained, however we can make that happen. I don't know if anybody knows about, if anyone's taken that over, but if not, maybe we can get a committee together or something, because that's really important to keep going. And also, I agree with you, Anna, that the consolidation of the two stations is not a good idea, especially for people in Old Bisbee. So that's about all my comments on that.
Can I?
Councilmember Klein.
Okay. Well, as far as CCSO being out on our streets, they can go on any street in the county. I mean, they are they're peace officers, and as long even our officers, they're certified in the state of Arizona. So if they're someplace else in some other jurisdiction, they still have the rights to do things. It doesn't happen a lot, but they can because they're state certified. And you're right. We do if something like that happens and the SO moves into our territory, for lack of a a better term, you're not going to get that same hometown, personal, you know, hello, Miss Sullivan, how are you? That's just not going to happen. I mean, our officers, the majority of our officers are Bisbee people. I mean, they were raised here. They were, most of them, born here. This is their community. This is their home. And the other thing about the Sheriff's Department is after 10 o'clock, they're not on the road. If something happens and we need to call them out or whatever, it's going to take them even longer to respond. So we essentially would have no protection. And so it, you know, and we're extremely close to the border, so, you know, a lot can happen. And as far as, you know, you brought up the revenue stream, not really netting anything. Mr. Dunn was correct that, you know, years back everybody kind of looked at it, and everybody had a little bit different figure, but it still showed that we do make a profit. We do see, you know, revenues there that do go into the city coffers. Otherwise, why would people do it? Why would Arizona Ambulance want to continue to do that? It's not because they're doing it out of the goodness of their heart. They're doing it because they are making a tidy profit.
Yeah, but having that service run by the city of Bisbee with us responsible for the public safety pension, that's why as a city we're not netting anything. It's awesome that we're creating some revenue to help make up that deficit, but we're still paying an extra $1 million plus for the service that we have to come up with somehow as a city to keep these services going, whether we can charge subscription fees or bring in some other way to pay these costs. If we're going to keep it in the city, we need to figure out how to bring in some more money to cover those charges. Otherwise, taking it to a district puts that on the back of the taxpayers.
It does. But as far as you know, if we do, if it, you know, would go to a district and we lose that, we still have the pension obligation. I mean, we're not going to get out from underneath that. So where would that revenue come from? And we cannot sell subscription fees due to our CON, and I wish Chief Brunelight was here to maybe answer those questions, you know, because he knows that inside and out. But we had heard from some people over the divide that there were some Palominas fire district personnel over there trying to sell subscriptions, which is, they can't do that. Mm-hmm. So that's just a little food for thought there.
Councilmember Connors.
Yep. Thanks very much. Is now comprehensive budget discussions. Are we doing what we're supposed to be doing, hashing this down like this, or just flat, you know, going over the things that we talked about last time when we were in discussions? Or do you want to do nitty-gritty stuff like we're doing?
It's wide open.
It's wide open. Thank you for your direction there, City Manager. Well, I've heard a lot of things. You know, I heard discussion going down, what services we want and what services do we not want. And then towards the end of that conversation, then it got to non-essential services. So, I mean, those are the easy ones. Those are the easy ones. Let's save $100,000 and get rid of everything that we don't, you know, it's not essential. You know, is it life, you know, I heard somebody discount that they're not life, you know, it's not life dependent. Well, it is for some people, believe it or not. And you can, just like destroying an institution that's been here since 1908, that's some pretty hard words there. Destroying an institution here in Bisbee, in my world, that's being divisive, and that's being inflammatory or incendiary. Nobody wants to do any of that. We don't want to destroy anything. You know, what I haven't heard up here, damn it, is partnering. This is what we've been talking about for months. Am I not the only person that has heard it? But it's been cast as the evil fire district. It's something different than it's been gone on here since time immemorial. You know, we're here to partner. We're here to share the burden of these services. We're trying to share the burden and the rewards of delivering them. And I'm astounded that people, that a commander wants to have a party for himself to have more appreciation. That doesn't bode well in my world. You want to have a party for yourself because you're getting bad press. Maybe it's time for some bad press. You know, I don't like this. It's timing. Everything is timing. If anybody doesn't know, you know, what timing is, you're living in it right now. Timing is, we have no money. The answer is, we can partner with other people and share this stuff. But people don't want to. Two times you've been asked, why not? And it's jobs, and it's a history, both of which I understand. I understand jobs, and I'm not here to say that, you know, I would love to be able to employ people, but we just can't, like we have in the past. We can't do that. So we're going to lose a guarantee. What are the guarantees? We're going to lose control. What control have we had of our own destiny? Look where we are. I mean, by our own devices, we are sitting here living this, and we have a lot of responsibility. And to pawn it off on poorly invested money, yeah, but that happened to everybody. And, you know, in the scheme of things, ours is way down here compared to the other municipalities that are going to get paid way before we get paid. And they're not going to assume our debt. We have to do it. And in my world, if you stop consuming as much as you're producing, you know, you're going to burn down. You're going to wear off some of that. You're going to get down to reality. And that's where we need to get to. So comprehensive. Okay, yeah, Peg, I'm sorry. Get rid of the, you know, keep the library open and let it be free range. You know, we'll do what we have to do. Same thing with the swimming pool. We gave it to somebody, but we're supplementing them. So, but we have to behave differently. We can't hire any more people because then we continue to add to the debt of what we owe them. That's the way it is. You know, I have to create a budget. It's a tiny budget. It's a minuscule budget, but it allows me to live in this town. But I have to create that budget. And if that's not coming in, then I don't get to live outside of that budget. That's the reality of my world. So, oh boy, you know, I'd love to ask questions and ask for the facts. Some of the facts are some of these numbers that you were throwing around, but, you know, I would like to see it in writing and not just, you know, at the dais like it is. You know, I want to see the sources and numbers and heart. I want to see a draft of that letter that I've heard about for a year and a half that you're going to write on behalf of all the cities. I hear a lot of things up here and a lot of defense of the way things are, but there's no reality in it. There's a prayer, and I hope we are successful with the 93 other communities and getting them to, you know, discharge some of our debt, but they're not. It's frustrating, you know. Nobody wants to give up. Nobody wants to compromise. But we have to. You know, we have to. We have to start talking soberly like that. Like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we not going to do? And it's been put out, you know, it's been put before us. Don't hire anybody else. Work with what we have until we figure it out. You know, we're just starting down this slide. You know, it's probably going to get worse before it gets better, but it's not forever. Doug Dunn said, you know, once the money's gone from our reserve, it's gone forever. Well, it's gone forever until we put it back in there, until we, you know, grow the reserve back, until we hire people back when things change. But they're not going to change if we just sit up here and hope. You know, we have to do things. We have to shine up our town like we have been. You know, pave streets, make things look good, make it look like, hey, somebody wants to come here and move here and do things like it's been going on for the last year or so. But it's simple what we have to do. We have to share this public safety burden. We have to share it because we can't afford to pay for it anymore. I know we can't afford not to have them, and that's not what I'm saying. We can't afford to pay for it like we've been paying for it. And there are other ways to do it, and that's all we've been talking about is another way to pay for it, not different. You know, we're going to lose control. You never had control. Look where we are. We're going to lose whatever the things were that, you know, they were all delusions anyway. You know, what guarantees? And are we going to, you know, how are we going to ensure that more people are going to get sick so that we can pick up more people with more ambulances to get them up there? We don't know. People are staying healthier longer. We can't project that. How many more sick people are going to be here? If there are numbers, I want to know where that data is coming from, and how you're crunching those numbers, instead of just saying that. I love coming up here sometimes, but sometimes it's like Jesus. That's what we've been talking about for months, is partnering. And I get, no, no, no. I don't know. I don't want to do it. Why? It's going to save us money. And we can stay open. Thanks.
Mayor.
Councilmember Klein.
First of all, for clarification, Mr. Connors, the commander did not throw a party for himself. He threw an appreciation banquet for public safety personnel.
Thank you.
Therein lies the difference.
Thank you.
And second of all, you're saying we need to partner. Well, where are your suggestions?
I have none. I'm reiterating what we've talked about for months, that the city manager has been trying to implement. It had a lot of feet dragging and trying to implement things. But, you know, I don't have anything. I want to work with what we've already described and what we've already identified as things to work with.
Mayor? Thank you.
Councilmember Sullivan.
Going off of what you said and sort of changing the topic a little bit at the same time.
Whatever you want.
I want to follow up on what you said and working with things that we've already determined, which we had a couple weeks where we did some strategic planning at the beginning of the year, and we came up with some goals for financial security and for improving, you know, our financial status. And I would like to see some of that looked at. So not looking at the public safety right now, like switching gears entirely, I would like to see the city of Bisbee exploring some of those ideas and the realities of what it would take to do some more enterprise funds, bring in more revenue. What about the city store? What about doing a recycle store with some of the stuff that comes in through the transfer station? Instead of throwing it all away and bulldozing it, how can we turn it into a product? How can we make something new out of it? How can we charge somebody for it? How can we get the Lyric Theater up and running again? How can we create a revenue stream in that Lyric Theater, one of our most historic locations? And how can the city of Bisbee somehow profit from that? How can we partner with somebody, a foundation or something, to bring such a beautiful relic back into the music and art scene and create a revenue stream that's going to draw people, that's going to provide a location for conferences and plays and movies five nights a week and live music on the weekends and seating for over 500 people. We don't have anything like that in Bisbee, but we do. It just needs some love and affection. And I would like to see the city of Bisbee explore the idea of turning that theater into a revenue stream. And I know that sounds crazy, but desperate times come for new ideas. And that's an idea that I think would be great. It's for sale now. $495,000. How can we sell some of our assets that don't mean anything to us and buy an asset that would be so meaningful?
That would take a lot of discussion, I think. We'd have to examine that one.
Well, this is when the discussion is happening. We're talking about our budget. We're talking about all ideas on the table. And I just thought I'd throw it out there so it can roll around in people's brains.
No, I appreciate you doing that, but I think to a certain degree we're dealing in a little bit of real estate speculation. But, no, I like the idea. It's very interesting, actually. Do we have $498,000 to spare right now, Mr. Johnson?
Sir, I'm sorry.
No.
Oh, okay.
I asked a question. Oh, okay. Do we have $500,000 to spare to buy a theater?
Not right now, but if it's the pleasure of Mayor and Council to come up with ideas to come up with $490,000, then you best believe. And I ran the idea in the past, Andy, and if that's the pleasure of Mayor and Council to explore it and come up with some ideas, we'll
Well, it would be an interesting discussion. It seems interesting to me, but I'm not sure that
that
would come to fruition. Councilmember Klein.
When we had that strategic planning session, I thought that was one of the more brilliant ideas that came out of it, the idea that you brought up with the company store. Having grown up here, you know, Phelps Dodge always had the company store. I think that's a great idea, and if something like that could come to fruition, I think it'd be really cool. As far as selling our assets and buying something meaningful, that would be great too. However, so many of our assets were sold off in the early 80s that what is left really is not, you know, big money items. So, you know, unfortunately we're, you know, living with what councils did way back then. And back then, times were extremely tough in the city and extremely tough for the police department in particular. I remember that. And as far as the fire department, you know, we just, Mr. Connor said we have too many personnel and things like that. Back then when we had to cut back, we had 5 fire stations that were fully manned. And then we went down to, you know, the 2, and we've been trying to maintain those. So, yes, we have cut back personnel quite a bit. And but I wish we still had those assets so we could maybe, you know, look at something like that.
Yeah, I concur with Councilmember Klein. I remember those days, too. It seems like, correct me if I'm mistaken once again, they were worried about even making payroll at that mm-hmm. point in time. Things were that desperate, and it was after the mine had closed down. So it's certainly not anywhere near where it was in the very early 80s. And we have clear possibilities of solving the dilemma that we are in if we are persistent and forceful and know how to operate the political system on a statewide level, county and statewide level. And it's a possibility that we can get massive relief. So, but I appreciate that. That's an interesting thought. I very much appreciate that, Councilmember Sullivan. I don't think I have any.
I do.
Councilmember Klein.
Just to add, you know, when you were talking about, yeah, it was very hard trying to make payroll. And if you talk to some of the people that were employees back then at that time, they always said it was once they got their check, it was a race to the bank because those that got there first got their check cashed, and those that didn't had to wait because the city literally did not have enough money to pay. And we're nowhere near that at this point. You know, so that was just a little, you know, because, like I said, some of the old employees, they joke about that. Oh, yeah, it was a race to the bank. But we're not in that shape now, and hopefully we won't be.
Yeah. Councilmember Dunn. Yes.
I certainly have more ideas, but I'm going to pass those on to the city manager. I do want to kind of respond here in general terms, and that is Another strategy is, in terms of dealing with our financial situation, is to identify and implement economic development strategies to increase tax revenue. And we certainly have an iBISB committee that is working diligently, doing several things, developing or promoting BISB as an overnight visitor destination. We certainly made a commitment there this year. We certainly increased our lodging tax and able to do a marketing campaign. We're going to be rolling out a new tourism marketing plan here this next week. We have an opportunity to tap the growing demand for outdoor adventure tourism. We're pursuing a senior housing development. We're partnering with U of A Tech Center. We've made a major commitment in terms of street improvement, in terms of making BISB a more attractive location for economic development. I also, I think, need to reflect, and people realize how we now fund this organization. And that is that the city of BISB, as I kind of made reference earlier, is largely dependent on visitor-generated sales tax. And that's a reality. Of the $5 million that the city collects in tax revenue, 62% of that comes from sales tax of one form or another. 19% from sale or from property tax. Certainly as we proceed in responding to needs, we always, you know, we could have funded street improvement through a improvement district in which only the people who live here pay for it. They're taxed. We elected every time that we talk about needs in this community, the funding mechanisms always are get grants, tax the tourists. And certainly we are asking then outsiders to continue to fund this organization. And it kind of disturbs me when I hear people say, tourists are taking over this place, push them out. Well, we need some options in terms of how we're going to do that. Right now, we are highly dependent on visitor-generated sales tax revenue. And I think we need to get behind the various strategies that are being presented to us now and in next week in terms of how we can further capitalize on increasing tax revenue to this community. I guess I'm particularly disturbed with kind of the nature of this discussion, which we've kind of had before. And that is that I thought my objective was to lay things, some ideas out. And I would hope that we'd give additional thought to those ideas, that we research them further, investigate them further, so we actually have some data in which we can respond. Doing an emotional reaction to things, as we've done before, I don't think helps. We need sustainability as an issue. Councilperson Hansen and I met with the fire chief here a week or so ago. Certainly the response that I received from the chief was quite different from what I'm receiving from Councilman Klein here. There's an individual that is realizing that we've got to look at things at all options. We at least need to investigate them before we automatically close the door on possibilities. It disturbs me that we have these emotional reactions to things. Certainly, one thing that I get emotional on in terms of, well, let's cut out non-essential services. And we want to label certain departments as non-essential. And I certainly could make a very strong argument that the library is a very essential service. I do think that we need to look at cutting non-essential services from every department, including public safety. And those were some of the specifics that I laid out here this evening in terms of where are there some opportunities in which we can reduce costs while maintaining a level of service. I really think that we need to be looking for sure at investigating further under the leadership of our fire chief, pros and cons of a fire district. And it disturbs me if we already have opposition on this council taking the first step. Because this process is a very strenuous process. And if we're not all together when we reach that point,
it's not going to happen. That's just plain it. If we're not united behind moving forward with a fire district, it's not going to happen, period. That would be a shame. I think it is a way of making the fire department more sustainable. I would like to research it further. We don't have the information necessary to make a conclusion, yay or no, at this point. Can't help but talk about numbers without getting emotional, and I guess we are, but I hope we can move forward on this. I appreciate this session, and there are certainly some issues that we need to bring forward and consider before we move into looking at budget right after the first of the year here.
Thank you, Councilmember Dunn. Sometimes issues can be passionate, and that's not necessarily a negative thing. Mr. Hradek, did you want to say a few things?
I did, and I hope that you don't see a staff person up here and you're all going, oh, boy, what's that guy going to say? I just wanted to clear a few things up because I don't want us to start out on a wrong foot here, but I want to remind everybody that the Queen Mine Tour is an enterprise fund, and it brings a good amount of money into the city. So I'm not here to argue any points. I just want to make sure that we remember everything as accurately as we can. I also want to say that the enterprise funds don't take a penny. They don't take the air that we breathe in this building from the general fund. And in fact, when you look at their budgets and you look to see what they finance in the city, they help finance the finance office. They help finance the city garage. So the enterprise funds don't draw from the general fund, and I don't want people to think that we're, as city employees, that we're somehow abusing that general fund with those enterprise funds. And a point of pride for the men and women who live in Bisbee, who work in the enterprise funds, are sending their kids to college, are here every day working, they are essential. That we can't keep separating in the city what part of us think is important and part of us think isn't important. If your toilet backs up, there are not enough police and firemen in this town to plunge them all out because we closed the wastewater plant. If your garbage doesn't get dumped for a month, there are not enough police and firemen or people in this building to make sure that garbage gets picked up. Those are considered essential. Those are all services. They're equal to our city. Our library, a society is judged on its libraries and schools. They are equal as essential to our community. I don't want to see the parks fenced off. I'm not prepared to do it. I don't want to see the pool fenced off. Don't think I'm not prepared to do it. But one of the things, as an employee of the city for 12 years, there's this separation that goes on completely goes on about, I hear things like, well, the real face of the city are public safety. The real face of the city is every single employee who works for the city of Bisbee. The garbage man who picks up your garbage, the wastewater guy who cleans out the sewer, the fireman who answers the call to pick me up because I hurt myself, and the police who are there. I live on the border. Do you think I can't live without police, quite frankly? You guys have it easy up here. You should be down there. And I also want to say this. I've been spending a good number of Saturdays. I go to High Desert Market and buy a sandwich, and I sit at Fry's in Sierra Vista. And I want to tell you that the number of people from this town who know that we live off sales tax, the number of people I work with who know we live off sales tax, and they buy groceries at Fry's in Sierra Vista, that is maddening. That is bad behavior on a city that has to live off of its sales tax. What is our bleed from sales tax out of the city? By our citizens who aren't shopping here. And Bisbee first might be the first place we start. So I wanted to bring that up because for 12 years I've listened to these debates and these arguments. And you say to us, we want you to be secure. But we're not. We are worried. My guys are worried. I know our police and firemen are worried because we're not getting the decisions and the ideas from the leadership that we need as employees to know that we're secure moving forward. So I would ask everybody as an employee, I would ask everybody on this council, if we're going to come, and I said this to civil service once, I said it when there was a chairman of civil service, that I had hoped that you had come more prepared to the meeting. And that what does that mean? When employee council was asked to come forward, we were tasked to come forward with a number of ideas. We were given a number. We need 10 ways to cut costs. every person up here on this day should have 5 ideas every month on how we can earn more money and what we can do to save our city. Save our city. You're the only ones who can do it.
I have a question. How about putting the essential good-looking city employees on a calendar?
Well, I think we got some firemen who are younger and a lot better looking than us, so probably should use those guys for a fire calendar. First, I know I have a good friend who's been on the fire calendar in Tucson for many years, and Tucson uses that to augment the charities that the firemen actually give. I was recently at a seminar in Las Vegas, and we were talking about Bisbee's woes, and they said, "What do you have to sell?" And I said, "Well, we got 2 things: rocks and water." And we all came up with the idea that Mule Gold Springs is probably the cheapest thing we could do to put something out to sell it. But again, these are all just ideas. But everybody has to keep coming forward with new ideas to make this work. We certainly haven't made public works work. When you consider we had 8 men in streets and I have 2, well, there was no face of Bisbee involved in that. That was get those 2 guys out there and do as much work as the 8. Is it essential? I don't know. You have to decide that. You're the ones that take the verbal abuse from the phone calls because I can't get to the streets quick enough. But, you know, we've been able to grow some departments. We've been able to grow sanitation. Those are people who live and work here. And we have the lowest garbage rate in Cochise County as of today. That's a huge accomplishment for your city and the people who work in it. But we have a wastewater plant. We have an award-winning wastewater plant that, quite frankly, we neglected. We didn't. The voters voted on it. We brought it here. And we didn't treat it properly. And now we're paying for that and having to put the money into it to treat it. It's an enterprise fund. It'll generate its own revenues. Our goal at Public Works and with the city managers, our goal isn't to come every year and go, "Look, come on, let's jack up the rates. We'll get them." It's not our goal. We're the ones that have to put up the phone calls. Our goals are to keep your rates as low as we possibly can with the money and men we have to work with. Personally, you know, I moved to Bisbee, and I recently realized I don't have a credit rating because I pay as I go. I have no debt. If I can't go out for breakfast next Saturday, I'll have to make it at home. And our city's in the same boat. We pay as we go. We don't have any debt. That's how we have to do it.
Thank you, Mr. Andy Heretic. One other item, just a clarification of something. I know we have a lot of tourists that come in and spend a lot of money, but also a part of that outside sales tax we receive is from our friends south of the border. In my estimate, and I might even be low on this, probably 30% of the business in Safeway is from south of the border.
40%.
40%. So we need to be cognizant of that as well. I don't think I have any more comments to make. I think I've covered what I needed to say. Council, does anybody have any further comments? Staff, city manager, finance director? Okay. I know that you have, city manager and finance director in particular, and staff in general, have a rather difficult process to go through. And I had a very enjoyable meeting with the city manager and the finance director this afternoon, and with some very creative stuff that was being discussed and bandied about. And I was highly impressed, and I want you to know, both of you to know that. And I thank you for the thought and efforts that you're making. I was highly impressed. Without any other comments, do we have a motion?
Move to adjourn.
Second. We have a motion and a second to adjourn. All those in favor indicate by saying aye. 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 Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously. This meeting is adjourned.